I need those wings. All right, boy. If you didn't raise your hand, the Lord saw it. He's like, woo! He's got wings for you too. But we have to trust Him at all times for everything that we do, even especially the things that we do best. We need Him for the subject that we're going to look at here this evening, so let's turn and to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. It's been so long, I can't even find it in my Bible. Okay, whew, here it is. We were in chapter 4. We're kind of looking at the solution to our lives is prayer. We have these things that we desire. God wants us not to try to pursue through our own methods to accomplish our own desires. He wants us to depend upon Him for those desires. And so the solution to lusting and fighting and warring and all this aspect is to pray to God. We look here at verse 3, and He says, "Ye ask and receive not." I tell you, sometimes you wish you could take certain verses out of the Bible. Not that it's a bad verse, but I'm telling you, talk about slaying you through the heart. Like, oh, that's me. Oh, me. We want to know, why does God not answer? Now, there's elements to which that question cannot be answered in just a one-size-fits-all. You can't apply it. I can't make a single statement that applies to every single person. Now, we can make statements on biblical truth, and maybe that applies to your situation, but there are multiple reasons. Sometimes God just says no, like He did to Paul, and says, "I'm sorry, the thorn in the flesh has got to stay, but I've got grace for it." And Paul came to that place where he said, I'm glorying in my infirmities. I'm so thankful that I can be weak so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So there's an aspect of that. We can't necessarily, every time there's not an answer to prayer, sometimes God has answered, and yet the answer hasn't arrived yet. Like with Daniel. He said, "I heard you, and I answered you on the first day that you prayed." 21 days later, it shows up. God has a purpose for that. There's an intention. He wants us to continue and persevere. But we do need to kind of deal with this. Does the Bible talk about reasons for unanswered? That might be our fault. And in fact, the list is long. And I pared it down so we could get through it here tonight just to think through some of these things. There's a verse that all the husbands need to listen to. It says, "Ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, to the wives, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not." Specifically, I think there's a principle that can be had here. It's in this special relationship, but I think it's more than just that relationship where God looks upon someone who has a position of authority and you're misusing that authority, misappropriating in your mind what that position is hopefully supposed to be for. And so it's not giving honor to her as the weaker vessel, which would mean stepping in to help. When there's needing help, you step up and be the tin can and protect the chinaware and help out. There's a beauty aspect there, but then there's also the aspect of the equality of being heirs together with the grace of life. And every marriage relationship should reflect those two wonderful realities. Just a tension all throughout marriage. That there is a difference of role, but there's also a beautiful equality inside of that. And so you have to respond with that. And God says if a husband's not willing to do that, it will impact the parents. God will not hear. If I treat someone underneath me poorly, and you've got the one who's over me and whom I need to come to, he is going to respond in kind. So there is a reality that our prayers can be hindered by our sin. This is a principle that's taught in Matthew chapter 5, where he says, "Leave thy gift before the altar." You know that someone has ought against you and you've got some relationship that's not in the right, you've got an aspect of authority, or you've got a brother, or you've got someone that you know there's tension there, and you need to get that thing resolved, because God says, I'd rather get that resolved first and then come back and offer your help. Then we can have fellowship. Relationships need to be right. Isaiah 1:15 says, yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. We live in a place of persistence. I believe that God is merciful to us. If God never heard someone's prayer because there was unconfessed sin in their life, I'm not sure any of our prayers would ever be answered. There's just a reality that we are so sinful. We're sinful beyond our purview. But where the Holy Spirit is shining the light, and God is saying, you need to get this right. And I'm saying, no. Leave me alone. Some more convenient day, I'll respond to you. God says, your iniquities are keeping you from when you need me. Where you need my blessing, it's being hindered. The hypocrite says, the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gain, when he taketh away his soul, what is the hope for him? Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? The implied question here in Job is no. And this hypocrite, God's not going to believe. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not. Proverbs 1:28, they will call upon me and I will not answer. They will shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. This is people that are rejecting wisdom in their life and then calling out for it in the moment of judgment. When the reaping starts, all of a sudden he says, nope, it's too late, it's past. Jeremiah 14:12, when they cry, I will not hear their cry. Ezekiel 8:18, though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. First one was a continued pattern of wandering from God. Ezekiel, secret idolatry. The leaders are robbing the poor, taking advantage of them. It says, they shall cry unto the Lord in Micah 3:4, but he will not hear them. Zechariah 7:13, if therefore it shall come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I will not hear, said the Lord of hosts. So there's no move. They wouldn't listen to the prophets God sent. So how we respond to God, we've got our ears covered. That is covering the ears of God. I'm not going to listen to your prayer. You have to respond to me. Listen to me. And really, unanswered prayer and the need of unanswered prayer can be one of the greatest levers that God pulls in our lives to get us to finally be willing to obey. We see in this passage, he says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it on your lips. They're praying and they're asking God, but says, you're asking according to what you want. All right, so according to this verse, you tell me, does that mean that we should never pray to God according to what we want? No. All right, if you're so confident about it, tell me why. As long as it's what God wants, all right, I think that's a good answer. But how do we know from the Scripture? Anybody have a verse of Scripture? Okay. But does that tell us whether we're asking according to our will or according to His will? Now I'm putting you on the spot. Now you're like, wait a second. What if the Bible says that? What if it does teach? Never ask. So whatever you want, pray the opposite. He's saying, like, no way. That doesn't seem very fair, you know. He starts doing reverse psychology here. Okay. So you've got a concern. You've got a burden. You cast it upon Him. That's good. That touches on that. Good. All right. He will give you the desire. I could play devil's advocate a little bit and say, wait a second, he's going to give you the change. But if he gives you the desires of your heart, then they are the desires of your heart, right? And now it's okay to pray for you. I think of a verse of scripture we looked at last week in terms of John 15:7. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. So there is a time in which you can ask according to your desires. And then there's a time when you ask according to your desires, and that's not me. Okay, Pastor, you're supposed to make it more clear. You just put a bunch of muddy in the water and everything. Well, that's the reality of where we're at in terms of prayer. And you have to discern by God's Spirit when am I asking according to my will? Or am I supposed to go to the Lord and say, here is what I desire, but not my will be done. I am qualified. So it's interesting when you look at the prayer promises. That meanie old clock is always robbing our fun. Do I have time to wade into this? I don't know. I feel like it's incomplete without it. So let's finish it. What do you have to get the prayer promises? Because when you start stacking up the promises in which God says, you pray and I will give it, there is several things that begin to lack. So we've saw it here before. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. There's an element to which that's the same condition, but there's kind of two parts to that. But an abiding relationship, a fellowship with Jesus Christ, then you're going to be able to ask what you will. He says, whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will you do. So Jesus has to abide in you, and you have to ask in Jesus' name. And he says, whatsoever ye ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Okay, we get obedience, pleasing the Lord. And this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If you know he hears you, then you know you have the petition you asked him. So you better ask according to his will. And then he says, when ye pray, whatsoever things ye desire, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So now you need faith. And then he says, ask, and it shall be given you. And the tense of that is an ongoing, keep on asking so that you can receive. If somebody keeps on asking, you will receive. But now you need perseverance. You can't quit. And I think in some ways you might throw in 2 Chronicles in there somewhere. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. So I don't know if that added 5 or 6 more, but you could put in humility there and willingness to turn. So we have to be broken people. We have to be calling in Jesus' name. We have to be obedient. We have to be believing. All these things all come together in one individual. It's not like, oh, that's you. This is your ticket to getting your answer to prayer. And this is your ticket over here. And this is my verse. That all of these things are a spiritual reality that was true in the life of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Spirit of God wants to produce in us. So that when I come, I am concerned more about the name of Jesus Christ than anything else. And I come in his name. And when I come in his name, because I am coming with a connection to the life of Jesus Christ, and with the power of me, now I'm seeking the will of God. And when I'm seeking the will of God, I know that what I'm praying for, I can believe that I will receive it. Because I know it's not my will alone, but it's the will of God. And now I've got confidence in faith. And because I have confidence in faith, I can keep on asking and asking and asking in the face of no evidence. But I will believe because I know that God's going to answer this prayer. You know what's going to cut off that fellowship and that abiding relationship? Sin in my life. So I need to be a repentant sinner, humble before God, doing those things which are pleasing in sight. And it's a relationship which he's working all of these things together. And when you go to prayer, it's a totally different world. Your life is being transformed by the Spirit of God. And you can ask what you want. And what you want is being aligned. He's giving you the desires of your heart. It's obedience in line with the will of God. I think all of these things are not just, I'm working on this and that. It's God wants to work it all into our lives so that we can have confidence in praying, not according to my will. Soon. May God help us. This passage of Scripture, verse 3, always throbs in my mind. I hope it is a constant reminder as we come to this house of prayer. We're not coming to pray for our will. We've come to seek the will of God. In the name of Christ be glorified in our prayer lives. All right, we'll go ahead and give out some awards here.